You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
We're in this covenant series, and this morning we're talking about covenant guidance. And really, as I began to contemplate and walk through this, the Bible talks about line upon line, precept, upon how we build our lives, the Word of God. And I really believe this message, as I give thought, is a continuation of the whole idea of being close, covenant closeness. Because we can't hear from God concerning His direction for our life at whatever stage. This message is not just, who should I marry? Should I get married? Should I take this job? Should I not take this job? Every day, there are decisions that we make concerning the direction, the plan, the purposes of God in our life. And that comes from intimacy, closeness with God. We live in a culture, a world that is fascinated with the future. They want to know the future. There's more interest in the spirit world than maybe what some folks realize, whether that be through horoscopes or palm reading, Ouija boards. There's a whole fascination with the spirit world to want to know what the future is. And when I was thinking about that, and I don't always have clever little thoughts, usually a good thought inspires a good thought, but this thought came to mind. People are looking to the stars to try to find direction. And I thought this, we should look beyond the stars. We ought to look to the sun. The S-O-N, amen? Looking unto Jesus, the Holy Spirit, to come, and He will be our counselor, and He will be our guide. People are looking for spiritual guidance. I think all the things that we mentioned, number one, it's a real spirit world. Number two, if you've opened yourself up to that spirit world, horoscopes, palm reading, Ouija boards, all those things. If you've opened yourself up, that's a real spiritual world. And here's what I would do if I were you. I would repent, I would renounce it, and I would close the door on it. Because I don't think that the unholy world is an area that we ought to open ourselves and dabble in and play in. But it's a counterfeit for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's for us. There, everything in the demonic world is a lie. Satan is a liar and he's the father of lies. And you might say, oh, that's innocent. That's exactly what he wants you to think. Everything in God is what? Truth. It is absolute truth. Truth. And so we look to the Holy Spirit. That's why we say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. We want your thoughts. We want your leading. We want your guiding in our life. See, we can receive guidance and direction from the Lord. I'm convinced of that. Amen? And so I want to give you some instruction over these next 2 weeks on receiving guidance from God. It's been said to know the will of God is our greatest knowledge. To do the will of God is our greatest achievement. Let me say it again. It's tweetable. Here we go. To know the will of God is our greatest knowledge. To do the will of God is our greatest achievement. I read something recently that challenged me to the nth degree. A friend of mine, I don't know if he came up with it exactly where its origin is, but it went something like this. I'm afraid that many passionately worship a God that they don't intimately know. I'm afraid that many in the church passionately worship, because we're crazy about worship, but worship passionately a God that we don't intimately know. If you really want to know God's guidance, you've got to get close to God. Not just sing about him. Worship should be an avenue of intimacy. But for many, it's an avenue of the soulish realm. It just stays in the soul. It's entertainment. It sounds good. It feels good. But it never penetrates down to change the core, the spirit level of who man is. And so may God. See, and I happen to believe that statement, because I know people who passionately worship, but I read their Facebook, and I think, how can someone who knows God be so cruel? How can someone who knows God be such a gossip and do it under the guise of a prayer request? Let's pray for them. They're living in sin. Well, who are you to say that publicly, and who are you to judge? Let's just pray for them. You don't have to add your two-bit answer on there, because they're living in sin. You know, I think if we really know who God is, we'd have a whole lot more love, and we wouldn't be so self-righteous and self-serving. Somebody say amen. If we really know God, there'd be a different attitude in how we live our life. And so my heart is this: I want to know God. I want to be close to God, and I want to walk, and I want to demonstrate Christ-likeness in my life that attracts people, that's not pushing people away. Don't push people away from the church. Don't push people away from God. You say, we got to tell them the truth. Listen, you're not the Holy Spirit. Let God be the Holy Spirit. Amen? And let's learn how to love and reach out and draw people, and who knows, in a worship experience and under the anointing of the preaching of the word, how God is going to move on hearts and lives. I believe it. And so, God, let us know you, and let us walk after you. Let us walk in your purpose, in your passion. Some of you are old enough to remember the second baseman for the Yankees years ago. His name was Bobby Richardson. My dad told this illustration. I heard it multitudes of times. That after a championship one time, that Hank Bauer went to hand Bobby Richardson, who was a dedicated Christian, went to hand him a beer, and Bobby slapped that beer out of his hand. And that was a huge taboo in that era, that day, and slapped it across the room and said, "Don't ever offer me that again." It was Bobby Richardson who said this, and I don't know if he's the originator, but he said, "God, your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else." I love that. Your will. I want what you want. I want to act like you act. Your will. Nothing more, nothing else, nothing less. Let me give you a couple of important facts about God's guidance. Number one is this: God has a plan and he has a purpose for your life. Let's read Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. It says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I love your word. I love what you're doing in my life. I love what you're doing in this church. And that you're making us to be more like you, that you're continuing to help peel off the religious garbage and garments and learning to put on the spirit of praise for that heaviness of religion and self-righteousness. God, I need you. God, I need you. And I pray that in this day, in this season of my life, that I would reflect more love, more compassion, more care, more concern than ever before. Grow me, grow us. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Speak to our hearts, convict us individually. Help us to be open. God, what do you want to say to me? May I be a vessel by which your spirit would speak and flow. It's in Christ's name I pray. And everyone would say, amen. Amen. God has a purpose and a plan for our life. See, you're no mistake. There are no mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. If you're here, you're alive, you're breathing. Let me tell you something. God has a plan and he has a purpose for your life. You may think, I'm not very pretty, or I'm not very handsome, or I'm not real talented. I don't have a lot of money. I don't have this. I feel like I failed. We'll deal with that next week when we feel like we've missed God's will. Here's what I want you to know is that God has a plan and a purpose. Ephesians 2 and verse 10 says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand. I can't help but think of Jeremiah, that before I was ever born, God knew me. Hello? That God had a plan and a purpose before I ever was born, ever breathed my first breath. That God had destiny written on our lives. We don't do the same things, but we all have a sense of purpose and destiny. The very fact that Jesus Christ, from the foundations of the world, there was a plan with God the Father that God would send his only begotten son and that he would come to this earth and in the form of a man, the God-man, live a sinless life, die upon the cross of Calvary, be buried, and then rose from the dead. The very fact that God put this plan in place tells me you are important. That if there'd been no one else, he would have died for you. Can you say amen? You see, God has a plan. God has a purpose, and your steps are ordered. Your steps are ordered by the Lord. Psalm 37, 23, the steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in him. Can I tell you this? Don't do your own thing, please. Young person, don't try to figure it all out on your own. Let God say, God, I surrender to you. Young adult, mom and dad, grandpa, grandma, surrender to God. Because see, when we delight in him, here's this promise. It's this covenant promise. Covenant, we do our part. God does his part. If we delight in him, he directs our path. If you'll put God first, he will lead and guide you. George Mueller was an Englishman, great man of faith. If you have opportunity to read on his life, man of prayer, saw incredible miracles of provision. He established orphanages across England. But it's said that in the margin of his Bible on Psalm chapter 37, Verse 23, the steps of a good man are established by the Lord. It said that he wrote this in the leaf of his Bible. He said, and so are the stops. And I like that. The steps of a good man and the stops. When God puts up a stop sign, or if God says go, the steps and the stops are established by God. Remember, God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Can you say that together? God has a purpose and a plan for my life. Let's say it again. God has a purpose and a plan for my life. Say it with your mouth out loud. God has a purpose and a plan for my life. Here's the second thing that I want you to know about God's plan is he's promised to reveal it to you. He's promised to reveal it to you. Now, here's where this whole idea of faith and intimacy and closeness with God, here's why people circumvent and they start trying to figure it out. They start trying to manipulate, or they look to other ways to try to find the future or control their future. But this whole idea of faith and trust, because God has promised. Psalm 32 and verse 8 says, I will instruct you. So there's a learning. I will instruct you. How many have found in following God that there is a teaching time that God teaches, that God's concerned with the process of learning to follow him? Somebody say amen. I will instruct you and teach you. So if we're going to be learners, followers and learners, we're going to be disciples, we have to be open to the instruction and teaching. See, human nature is, I don't want anyone to tell me what to do. And if you're going to be a Christ follower and you're going to learn to walk intimately, closely, and you're going to hear his voice and you're going to know his will, then you're going to have to be willing to allow him to teach you, show you, instruct you. And sometimes I don't get it the first time. Sometimes I have to take the class over. Sometimes I have to work on that problem, like a math problem, for a period of time before I really get it. Are you following here? There is a process. Following God is a process. We're going to discover that following God's like a scroll unrolled. We want to know, God, what's happening tomorrow? What's happening next month? What's happening next year? And God leads and guides us, and it's a trust test, and it's a process, and it's a teaching us to learn to let go of self and to rely, to trust God that he knows what's best for me. So God will reveal his plan to his children. In Psalm 73 and verse 24, it says, you guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you receive me to glory. You guide me with your counsel. What's he saying? What's counsel? You guide me with your word. You guide me with your words, your counsel, your direction. Amen? All right, let's take this up. Let's take it a step further. Let me give you some aspects of God's will. Because there's two primary ways we talk about the will of God. And the first one is this. It's the written will of God. The written will of God is the Bible. And the Bible is given to us to follow, to obey, and to know. To follow, to obey, and to know. See, God's plan, listen real good, How many in this room, you said, Pastor, there's areas that I need to know God's will and God's plan for my life? All of us. How many every day you have decisions? I need God's direction. Well, listen to this. Grab a hold of this. His plan has been revealed in his word, and it applies to all Christians. Everybody say all. All Christians. It applies to all y'all. Amen? Thank you, Jenny. It applies to all y'all. Well, that's real important, because there is a tendency, human nature, there are people, and I find that they tend to be religious in nature or rebellious in nature, and to me, they kind of are the same thing. Because if you're religious, I think you're rebellious. But there's also this extreme rebellion, an extreme religion, and here's what happens. Rebellious and religious people tend to think the rules are for everyone else but them. And God's word is not given for everyone else but you. It's for all Christ followers. Amen? It's for you. You know, I've told you before, my dad used to say this often. He'd say, when you come to church, he said, bunch of you got a pitchfork religion. When the preacher preaches, you're going, yep, that's for them over there, and yep, that's for them over there. Yep, I'll give that to you. And he said, when you come to church, you need a rake religion. Just rake it in. Amen? Sure. Well, God's plan has been revealed in his word, and it applies to all. Here's the second thing. So we have the written will of God. Here's the second aspect that I want you to know, and it's this. It's the unwritten will of God. The unwritten will of God. And the unwritten will of God, now I'm going to show you where we stumble over the written will of God, but another area that we stumble both ways, is over the unwritten will of God. And the unwritten will of God is the area that we can't find a verse to back it up. It's where we grapple with what is God's will for my life. Many times we say, you know what, if I just knew what to do, I would do it. So, God's will defined in these two ways. There's the written will of God, and there's the unwritten will of God. The written will of God, the unwritten will of God. Now let me show you how we are to respond in both situations. Number one is this. Obey the written will of God first. Okay, I'm going to wait till the shouts die down and we're going to continue on here. I'm sure you were just writing that down as the reason you didn't. Obey the written will of God first. We need to get my mom to come to church. At least she'll say amen to her son. All right, listen closely. Don't worry about the unwritten will of God. You say, well, Pastor, that's where my problem is. Do I take the job? Do I marry the girl? Do I ask her? What do I do? Do I go to this school? Do I go to that school? Let me tell you where to start. And I'm not, there's a couple of aspects. There, you know, when we get in crisis mode, and when we get in crisis mode, we get weird. And we start seeing God and hearing and being super sensitive about everything. And there's moments that something comes upon us and we have to make decisions. I get it. And God is there, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But what I'm talking about is learning to follow God in our life, not just when it all of a sudden, do I take this job? The crisis, what do I do? Let me tell you how to live your life so you don't live in crisis mode. And it's this. Obey the written will of God first. See, don't worry about the unwritten will of God or the mystical aspect of knowing God's guidance. First of all, commit yourself to the written word of God. Commit yourself to the written word of God. Now understand, the Bible has some specifics, line drawn in the sand, yes and no, black and white. And what happens is we have to learn to obey what we know first. We're worried about what about over here, and we're disobeying God, and what's the obvious? Hello? Mark Twain, the great theologian. That was a joke. I don't consider him a theologian. I don't really consider him for life experience. I thought I was Tom Sawyer growing up in southern Missouri and lived in caves with my buddies and thought we were reliving the adventures of Tom Sawyer. And I don't take all of his advice, you know, because he's also the one who said I never smoke two cigars at the same time. But he did say this that I thought was impactful. He said, it's not the part of the Bible that I don't understand that really impacts me. It's the part of the Bible I do understand. It's what I do understand. See, learn to obey. Are you following me on this? Do I need to be a little more specific? You know, we're wondering, God, do I do this? Do I do that? Well, let me give you some specifics. Be holy, for I'm holy. Try to be more like Jesus. That sex outside of marriage is sin. And that God's given us marriage to protect us. And we willfully disobey God, and then we want to know God's will and want God to bless us over here. And honestly, I understand how we become schizophrenic, because sin will make you schizophrenic. Sin will make you think, well, I'm doing this, but God will do this. Folks, it don't work that way. You know, God's calling us to obey his word. Well, man, I need a job, and man, I need God to provide for me, but you know, we don't even tip our hat at God when it comes to giving. There's no consistency. There's no sense of tithe. There's no sense of I have a responsibility. We'll put in a $20 bill because we think that it relieves our conscience a little bit. Listen, I'm not saying this to mock or to try to be funny. I'm just trying to help us to understand we have specific things that God has told us to do. And we mock at that by not doing it. And then we turn around and we want God to bless us and bless our families and do these things. And here's where I believe it starts. It starts with doing the will of God, doing the Bible, doing what God has commanded. You know, how can we be a gossip? How can we be a glutton? How can we do these things, willfully disobey the Bible, and then turn around and say, oh God, you know, give me, bless me, do these things. Here's what God's wanting his children. He's wanting relationship. You know, we go to God for miracles. Really, you've heard me say it 1,000 times. We go to God wanting him to perform magic. God's into miracles. Miracles are partnership. Miracles are covenant relationship. Miracles are us working together in faith with God. And so this whole idea is we do the written will of God first. All I'm saying is this. I believe it's impossible to know the unwritten will of God until you're willing to obey the written will of God. Because I don't think God's about to give you something that's not in his word until you know what is in his word. And so our first principle is know God's will is to obey the written will of God. Everybody still with me? Amen. Everybody still love me? Amen. I heard, oh me. Here's the second thing I would tell you is this, is covenant closeness. Covenant closeness. What I mean by that is just fall in love with God. You want to know God's will and plan. You do His written will. You do what He's given us in His word. You obey His word. Husbands, love your wives. Husbands, be a man of God. Be the leader. Be an encourager. Be responsible. Love your wives. Don't provoke your children. These are all things we know. This is what we're to do. We know we're to love as Christ loved. I don't know, this has been in my mind over and over and over and over. I keep coming back to Jesus. Woman, where are your accusers? Jesus wasn't a judgmental person. I think cynicism, judgmental attitude. God, let the fruit of the Spirit. If I'm going to err, I'm going to err on the side of grace. God, help me to be that kind of person. Do what you know to do. Love Jesus. Be like Jesus. Covenant closeness. Fall in love. See, the best way to know God's will is to say, I will. You want to know God's will? Then say to God, I will. I will put you first in every area of my life. I will listen. See, when you first fell in love, guess what happened? You wanted to be with that person. It was easy to listen to them. I mean, you would talk on the phone half the night. And it was easy to listen. It was easy to serve them. Why? Because you have a love relationship with that person, whether it's your spouse or your children. But a lot of folks have a hard time obeying God. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I don't know that we love Him like we really ought to love Him. But when you really love Him, you want to be close. I don't have time to go through this really. I grabbed my notes from last week. You know, I gave you 10 things to do to develop closeness and intimacy. Personal responsibility, quality time with God. Guard against things that spiritually dull, or guard against things that dull your spiritual sensitivity. Have an other's mindset. Love not the world. Be thankful. Closeness. Get close to God and get close to people that love God. Closeness is more caught than taught. Be involved in a small group where you hear other people's testimonies so you know you're not the only one struggling and there's encouragement. Practice closeness at home. Intimacy at home. If there's not intimacy at home, home is a reflection of our relationship with God. Ask the question, what would Jesus do? And know what real success is. Real success has nothing to do with money, but it has everything to do with this, with knowing God. Someone say amen. And so fall in love with Him. Obey the written will. And then covenant closeness. Covenant closeness. Here's the next thing I would tell you, is be willing to accept the will of God before knowing what it is. Be willing to accept the will of God before knowing what it is. Romans 8, 31 and 32. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? See, I think some folks have the idea, I'm afraid to trust God because I'm afraid He's going to take my fun. He's going to take something away from me. When I was a kid, my dad used to tell me all the time, son, pray in the spirit about that situation. Can I tell you, I was so messed up in my mind of who God was, I was afraid to pray in the spirit because I just knew God was going to make me do something I didn't want to do. I can remember standing in our window. We had this town home. It was three stories high in Atlanta, and out the back was these beautiful woods. And I can remember standing in my window, looking down and saying, God, I don't want to go to Orange Beach. I don't know anything about Orange Beach. Somehow in my mind, I thought, God, you're going to make me do something I don't want to do. And I struggled for a lot of months because I didn't want to do it. I didn't need a job. Now, I'm not telling you I don't love Orange Beach. I love you and I love Orange Beach. I will tell you this. When we said yes, I was unsettled in my heart. And as soon as I said yes, we came here. Guess what happened? All hell broke loose. But I look back, you see, here's what I have to believe. It's this: be willing to accept God's will before knowing what it is, because God makes all things work together for the good of those who love God. And can I tell you, God knew exactly who you needed to lead you through that season. God knew exactly what I needed in my life. And guess what? I don't regret God's will one iota. Amen. Yeah. Now, I don't say that for applause, but here's what I want you to know. There's a tendency for us to think, I don't know if I want to do that. Anybody identify? I don't know if I really want to do that. God has a bigger plan. You know, here's the deal. We want to have a little bit of input into the decision-making process. And what we're saying is, God's really not sovereign, and he really doesn't know best, and I have a better idea. And I believe that's the issue for most Christians. I believe a lot of Christians make a wrong decision because they just think they know a little bit more than God. And to really trust God, see, that intimacy is to say, God, I believe you know more and you know better than I do. Amen? What's the results? What's the results? Well, Proverbs 3, verses 1 and 2 says, my son, do not forget my teachings, but let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and years and peace they will add to you. Here's what God does. This is just the first part. I'm going to give you five more reasons and then five things that hinder. So 10 more points next week. But here's what I want you to know, that when we choose to follow God first, when we choose to hear his voice, when we choose to obey his word, when we choose his will, not my will, but your will, Lord, we have a fulfilled life. Can I tell you, Liz and I are fulfilled this morning. Our cup is full. This church is alive. We have the privilege of mentoring our kids in ministry. We have the opportunity to be with friends and family in this church that we love and that we cherish relationships above all. Can I just tell you, following God's will, not always easy, and it's not always what we want, but then when you follow it, how many understand this? It is fulfilling. Amen. Amen. Take a bulldozer to get the smile off my face right now. Come on now. When you follow the will of God, you're fulfilled. Amen. Let me tell you something else about the will of God. You find favor, verse number 4. So you find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Favor, the favor of God. The favor of God. You know what I believe? Look and listen real good right here. Look right here. I believe I'm God's favorite. I told my dad and mom that my whole life, I know I'm your favorite. I know both my sisters. I knew I was their favorite. I think you ought to think you're God's favorite. I really do. Amen. I feel like God's favor's on me. Honestly, I feel like whatever I do, God's going to cause there to be success. That's in my heart. I have always felt that. When we went to a large church out west, and I was grown a church, but was Midwestern boy going to the West Coast, I looked at him and I said, "Can you handle this?" I said, "God's favor's on my life." I didn't say it in arrogance. I believe it. I believe God is for me, and I believe that I have success and favor with God and man. That is part of following after God. Amen? Yeah. And then what is the last? It's success. It's success. I believe this. I believe whatever I put my hand to, I'll be successful. I don't say that in arrogance. I say that because I know who God is. I believe in what we confess over this church, that obedience brings blessing, and the blessing of God is whatever I put my hand to, I'm gonna be successful. Why? I wanna follow God, I wanna obey His word, I wanna walk in His will. You can't be anything but fulfilled and have favor and be blessed when you follow God's word. Amen.